You're listening to Chemistry in Its Element, brought to you by Chemistry World, the magazine of the Royal Society of Chemistry.
This week, residents of Aberdeen, Edinburgh and Cornwall, watch out. Radon's about. Catherine Holt.
When I bought my house recently, I was intrigued by a comment in the surveyor's report, which stated, higher than the actionable levels of radioactive radon gas have been found in up to 10% of dwellings in this area of the country, and we recommend the property be tested for the levels of radon. Well, of course, in the flurry of activity associated with moving, I didn't think about this for some time. But recently, I started to read more about this mysterious radioactive gas which may be invading my property. The first reports of problems associated with radon gas in domestic buildings was in the United States in 1984, when an employee at a nuclear power plant began setting off the radiation detector alarms on his way into work. The problem was eventually traced to his home, where the level of radon gas in the basement was found to be abnormally high. Radon emanates directly from the ground all over the world, but especially in regions with high levels of granite or shale in the soil. Uranium, a relatively common constituent of soils, decays to form radium, which in turn decays to produce radon. In fact, for most UK residents, naturally occurring radon accounts for half of their annual radiation dosage. However, it only really becomes problematic when high levels are produced in confined spaces. For example, the ground floor of buildings without adequate ventilation. Some homes in Cornwall, where the ground has high granite content, were found to contain worrying levels of radon. However, forced ventilation methods largely remove the problem. Radon is the product of the decay of other unstable radioactive elements, such as radium, thorium and actinium. The colourless, odourless, tasteless gas can be isolated from these sources, but soon decays as it has no stable isotopes. The early pioneers in the study of radioactivity, the Curies, had noted that radium appeared to make the surrounding air radioactive. However, the discovery of radon is credited to a German physicist, Friedrich Ernst Dorn, who traced this observed radioactivity to a gas which was given off by radium, a gas which he called radium emanation. Similar emanations were isolated from other elements, for example thorium, and eventually the gas was identified as the heaviest of the noble gases, named radon, and given its rightful place in the periodic table. Not much research has been carried out on radon due to its radioactivity, but it's largely unreactive with few known compounds. Like the other noble gases, it has been found to form compounds with fluorine. It is the densest known gas, another reason why it tends to linger in low-lying confined spaces. Below its boiling point, at minus 61 degrees Celsius, it forms a colourless liquid, and then, at lower temperatures, an orange-red solid which glows eerily due to the intense radiation it produces. Radon has a fairly short half-life of only a few days, so decays rapidly. Why then should we worry about radon levels in our homes? The problem is, when breathed in, it can decay to form other, longer-lasting, solid radioactive species, which can coat the lungs, leading to continual exposure. These so-called radon daughters include polonium-214, polonium-218 and lead-214. Not family members you'd wish to spend a lot of time with. Consequently, prolonged radon exposure is believed to be the second most frequent cause of lung cancer after smoking. The unfortunate gentleman with a basement full of radon had a risk of consequently developing lung cancer equivalent to smoking 135 packs of cigarettes every day. So, now that I'm comfortable in my freshly decorated new home, all that remains for me to do is to check that my surroundings are as safe as they look. Fortunately, that's easily done these days with radon test kits, which you can order online. You place them in the corner of a room for 3 months and forget about them, and then send them away to be analysed. OK, so it costs 30 quid or so, but surely that's a small price to pay for peace of mind.
But maybe don't take a deep breath before you open the results from the lab, just in case. That was UCL chemist Catherine Holt with the story of the radioactive resident in your basement. Next week, from a chemical that kills silently and slowly to an albeit more fearsome beast.
The 37-year-old technician spilled only a few hundred milliliters or so on his lap during a routine paleontology experiment. He took the normal precaution in such situations, quickly dousing himself with water from a laboratory hose, and even plunged into a nearby swimming pool while the paramedics were en route. But a week later, doctors removed a leg, and a week after that, he was dead. The culprit, hydrofluoric acid, colloquially known as HF, and the unfortunate man was not its first victim.
But what killed him? And what about the people who first isolated HF, unaware of its terrible reputation? Well, you can find out what happened to them from Kira Wiseman on next week's Chemistry in Its Element. I'm Chris Smith, thank you for listening, and goodbye.
Chemistry in Its Element is brought to you by the Royal Society of Chemistry and produced by thenakedscientists.com. There's more information and other episodes of Chemistry in Its Element on our website at chemistryworld.org/elements.